for Uranus to go into retrograde. And you were just mentioning this really, I think, fascinating piece about what is, when was the last time we went into, Uranus went into retrograde and the significance around it?
The last time Uranus went into Taurus. So Uranus is in Taurus, right? It's going to retrograde in Taurus. The last time Uranus switched from Aries to Taurus was the buildup to World War II. And I don't want to like make anybody afraid of that, because that's not where we're not heading towards World War III. Uranus and Taurus makes us revolutionize what we value, what we find important. And whenever it was going between Aries and Taurus before World War II, Regulus, which marks the leadership of the world, it takes 2,000 years for it to go through a sign. Regulus was still in Leo. Mm-hmm. We were king and kingdom led when Uranus went between Aries to Taurus. Mm-hmm. And also our solar system, which orbits around our sister star Sirius, was in the darkest part of its orbit from Sirius. When we're closest to Sirius, we're the most conscious. When we're the furthest from Sirius, we're the least conscious. Mm-hmm. We were still in the darkest part of our orbit from Sirius when Uranus went from Aries to Taurus. Now, Uranus going from Aries to Taurus, Regulus, as of 2012, has clicked into Virgo. The leadership of the world is no longer kings and kingdoms. It's who's showing up of service, who's showing up in presence, who's showing up to heal, who's showing up to take care of the planet. Mm-hmm. And our solar system has come out of the darkest part of its orbit from Sirius, which also lasts 2,000 years, the same 2,000 years Regulus was in Leo. It clicked out of the darkest part of our orbit in 2012 also. Mm-hmm. We are coming back into consciousness, moving towards Sirius. It'll take time, but that's where we are. So now we're in a totally different place when Uranus is going into Taurus and we revolutionize what we value. Now it's how do we heal? Now it's how do we become more conscious in our stewardship, in our presence, alive on planet Earth?
Mm. How do we become more alive in our stewardship? That's a really interesting piece. Like, do you mean stewardship to ourselves, stewardship to the planet, stewardship to one another? Like, can you speak more about that?
Yeah, it's Virgo, where Regulus is now, and Uranus going into Taurus. Those are both Earth signs. I'm talking about Earth and Pluto, where there's a collapse in control and old paradigms happening. That's Earth too. This is about Earth, but we are Earth. We live on planet Earth. We're part of the biosphere of Earth, but we're the conscious beings on it. Mm-hmm. We're the most aware beings on it, and we do the most destruction.
Yeah.
And while, you know, at the same time, Chiron's in Aries, where we're having to heal what we've done to ourselves and each other. Our power, our masculine, our strength has been used for destruction. And we're going to look up and go, oh shit, mm-hmm. Wow, what have we done? And we're going to have to show up and correct that and use our power and our strength to rebuild and to protect vulnerability and to protect what is precious rather than destroying it and looting from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the protection and vulnerability, I think that, especially with all of that, those earth elements there, right? I think we've talked about this before, about how easy it is to leave the body, to leave being grounded, to go into the mental aspect, to leave into like the spiritual realm or come out of your seventh chakra, if anybody follows the chakra systems. And because it's a place of like, oh, perceived safety, but also in that of like embodying vulnerability, like there is a deep request to ground into the body and use that those earth elements to really come into yourself and experience all the experiences, whether they be like, oh, we've looted from the earth, or I've looted from my own personal joy, or I've taken from the people that love me the most because I couldn't show up for myself. I think there's a real offering of service and healing there.
And I think it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. When we look out at all the things that need to be revolutionized for us to heal the destruction we've caused, I think we can go, oh shit, it's too much. Mm-hmm. And so Uranus, my belief in astrology is that the planets have consciousness within them. They have intent. When Uranus, right before we go, I think 8 years into Taurus with Uranus, right before we do that, it's going to take a minute to retrograde back into Aries. whenever we get, when we become overwhelmed with, oh my God, we're going to have to revolutionize everything. We've screwed everything up. I think that Uranus in Aries is going to say, for the last 8 years, I've had to shock you out of hiding and into your strength and into your power. Don't make me do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we better go, oh, okay, sorry, I forgot. And then we go back into the realm of, all right, let's clean it up. Let's fix this.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I work with people and like with my background in food, like this rabbit hole that goes down, like when you start looking at like contamination in our water, our foods being treated with chemicals and pesticides, the amount of food dyes we add to things, the way that our land has been treated to produce the food that we're finding that's been heavily processed. Like it's just a slippery, overwhelming slope that you get down to the point that you bare bone are like, I can't eat anything unless I'm growing my own and like I'm taking jugs and like finding my own water. And even then that's questionable because the earth is obviously struggling. And like that shock from, I think Aries that you're speaking about is like, yeah. And also how sweet it can be to know a farmer, to grow your own food, to like taste fresh spring water that is free of chemicals, to like be in communities where you have access to those things or where you have access to choosing the conversation around those things. And that makes like the dauntingness of how do I decipher this world a little bit easier in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And also remember that we're part of the earth too. Right. We've allowed corporations to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
Not having clean water is the result of corporations. Oh, yeah. Not having access to healthcare is the result of corporations. Eating terrible food that we've been convinced is magic mm-hmm. is the result of corporations.
Yep.
Something bigger than us, it's been happening. It's the control mechanisms within Capricorn have looted from and eroded us too.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the plant. The way our bodies are breaking down, the way that people are becoming more and more and more dependent on pharmaceuticals mm-hmm. to live, just mm-hmm. to live. And they're not even coal miners.
Right.
Just to live like a normal life. This is a problem.
Absolutely.
That revolutionizing what we value. It's and not what we've been told. We've been told a lot of messages that have to do with consumption and capitalism and greed mm-hmm. and, you know, taking what you can get and getting on top and screw everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken a toll on everything down to, like we talked about in the last podcast, down to the cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten it all the way down into our bones.
Yeah. And I think there's examples of it in every single aspect of our lives. I mean, the education system, our food system, our healthcare system, like the way that we trade or buy and sell things, the way that we keep community, the way that we atone to like family members, the way that we take care of our mental health or people that are coming back from our fighting our wars. And I use quotation marks around that, like that, you know, like they are, there's systematic examples all the way around of how things have not been taken care of and how we have bought into it too.
I think that veteran thing is an excellent example.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's all kinds of noble reasons that we paint around why it's okay for us to send people to war.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have friends who've come back from war in the recent wars that we've had in recent decades, and they are not well and nobody cares.
No,
nobody cares. And they just keep deploying them.
Yep.
They keep deploying them. How we treat humans is how we treat the earth.
Right.
Like the earth is wailing and we're like, I don't care. Get more.
It's go expendable.
Go find another place to drill in.
Right. It's all this expendable energy of like, well, it's like, oh, well, if we can't find oil there, then we'll just tap into the national forest and then we'll find oil there. And like, we'll just destroy everything. It might, what is that movie? My son watches the movie that is from The Cat in the Hat, and it's about the Sneeds, and it's about the guy that, you know, takes away all of the forest because he wants to make this magical sweater, and then the animals of the forest are like, please don't do it. if you're going to do it very mindfully, like commune with us, please, because this is our home. And then all of a sudden he's destroyed everything and there's only pollution. And now they're selling like bottled air because why out? They've polluted everything. You know, there's no grass in anything. And there's this one sweet little boy that takes it onto himself to go find the last living seed of a tree and repopulate it. And it's like that example over and over and over again of like, we can't keep raping and pillaging and taking from the earth and taking from our own internal sources of joy, because look at what's going on. There's a complete absence of vitality. There is an absence of like being able to have clean air, clean water, clean food, clean like conversations and clean community that are not focused on like greed and who's got what and, you know, moving on up.
Yeah, it's revolutionizing what we define as abundant, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times Taurus is associated with materialistic things, like the cashmere and room service and things like that. And I've started to even the way that I talk about Taurus in the readings with people, I'm like, it also means getting into the forest. It also means being near water. It also means like slow cooking food. It's redefining what abundance is. Looking at, oh man, I have an emotional charge on this. The goods that we've been sold about what's important is highly destructive.
Yep.
I mean, just diamonds itself.
Right.
Diamonds itself. People have appendages cut off for diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Children with machetes are involved.
Right.
With getting diamonds. Like, what in the fuck are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And it, well, I started to say, I don't understand how we've gone along with this for so long. Like, really, we've gone along with this for so long without ever questioning it. And then I catch myself. Yeah. Because we've been in unconsciousness.
Yeah.
We've been in the darkest part of our orbit from Sirius for 2,000 years. And I think it's important that whenever we're coming back into consciousness, that we not douse ourselves in so much shame and regret that we do nothing and we render ourselves helpless.
Yeah, I think that's really a self-sabotaging place to get into. And I think for me, it's very important to remember that, like, when anybody has made choices and they were unconscious, they were still just choices. It's all they were, whether you're conscious or not. It's still just a choice that you are making, and there's consequences to every choice, whether or not you are conscious or unconscious. Like, there's just consequences to everything that has been chosen. And I think that place of going into the guilt and the shame and the self-defeating victim mentality and getting into that archetypical place is very seductive, because what does it aim to do? Keep you fucking small.
Yeah.
It keeps you very small and under the thumb of, I am not worthy. I am not deserving. How dare I have committed these crimes against myself, against humanity, against the earth, against anything. It keeps you small and questioning your worth. But if you're here, you are fucking worthy. Mm-hmm. You are sovereign and worthy in yourself. And so to dismantle that paradigm of shame and guilt, and I'm not discounting the fact that like you feel them, but like we talked about in the last podcast of like, can you feel the shame and the guilt as a way to move through it and to release it and to replace it with the fact of, hey, guess what? That was just a choice. And now I can choose something different.
Right. And I think Uranus is retrograde back into Aries. I hope will kind of stun us into realizing that all of the airy strength it took to cause this much destruction was going against the natural grain of life. Mm-hmm. That it was forcing something that is against our nature, that is not meant to be, that causes a lot of harm. So imagine if we use that same strength in the vein of how life intends to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That the repair can go faster and with greater ease than trying to go against the force of life.
Yeah.
That if we can own our strength in the way that it's intended, we can go up faster than the destruction has happened over time.
Right. Which I think, you know, for me, it brings up that mentality of, okay, then how do we flip the script of all of life, like, I mean, and this is so such an old ingrained patriarchal paradigm that is obviously being dismantled of like, oh, you have to struggle through life. You have to prove your worth. Like, oh, get into the trenches and then you'll be successful, but only after you've cut off your arms and your legs to prove that you're worthy of it. Right. And flipping that script of no, but what if all of life is supposed to come to me with ease and joyfully? What would that look like? And what kind of current would that carry me in where there wasn't this resistance? There wasn't that need to push and pull and fight and gnaw my way up the ladder, rather than allowing like the planetary energies and also like the higher powers that be guide you in the current.
Right. And that we come back to this over and over and over again, to trust the greater force of life more than we've trusted institutions that do not have our best interests at heart,
right?
That are using us. We're being used. We're being used for our consumption and for our labor. And in that, we have been complicit in the destruction that it's caused. And we're going to have to, I mean, a time is rapidly approaching when the nodes start switching in November. When the North Node goes into Cancer, South Node, where we should not be, goes into Capricorn. We are going to have to stop being complicit in contributing to a control system that's causing destruction and go into our own vulnerability and go out into a world of openness where we are in alignment with energies that have the best interests for ourselves and the planet at heart, and hold our values into that vein rather than what we've been told for centuries.
Yeah. Then I don't know about you, like, because this is daunting, right? It is, it's overwhelming. It's daunting when you look up around and you're like, holy hell, I have bought into all of these ways that I've become a consumer. I have bought into storylines of like, my only purpose here is to produce more work, to have children, to buy a house, like to shut down my joy, to make myself small. It's overwhelming to look at like all of the ways that that has happened. And so I think for me, it's a lot easier if you can break it up into small pieces. It's like when I was being trained for mindfulness meditation, and you would go into mindfulness meditation and they would be like, okay, well, we're going to sit and meditate for an hour. And I would go in and be like, fuck that. I cannot get 10 minutes in. Like, no, I'm not going to get, no, that hour. Who's going to sit here for an hour? Give me a break. You know, and the teacher would constantly be like, okay, but can you do 5 seconds? Can you do 2 seconds? Can you do 15 seconds now? What about a minute now? And like learning, rather than like this big overarching, like, oh my gosh, I have stepped out on myself and I have been oppressed in all of these ways. And I've stepped out on the earth, and my community and my joy. And looking at it from this 10,000 foot view of like, oh, look at all the places I could have done something differently if I were had been in consciousness. But could you make it smaller? Could you say, hey, I stepped out on consciousness because I've been drinking soda and coffee all day long and I've never had a glass of water. Could you try with one glass of water? If maybe you've never been vulnerable with anybody before, could you use one of those counseling apps or pick up the phone and phone a friend? I mean, like, hey, I don't even know how to do vulnerability right now, but this is me saying, I think I should be vulnerable. And I don't know what that means. Like, what little steps could you take rather than like looking at the larger overwhelming picture?
I feel that playing out in food a lot. Mm-hmm. Like it's, this is going to sound corny, but like whenever you buy like chicken stock, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In containers. I know that you have, but for people who are listening, it's a completely different feeling than whenever you buy a chicken, you eat the chicken off of it that you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. And then you put the remains in a pot with a bunch of vegetables and water and let it sit overnight on mm-hmm. low temperature. And you wake up in the morning and you have homemade chicken stock.
Oh, it's completely different.
It's amazing.
It is.
It really is. You're like, oh my God, I made magic.
Mm-hmm. You did. You alchemized magic in your kitchen. That's exactly why I'm addicted to being in the kitchen all the time.
That's right. That's right. Look at this. Wow.
I love it.
Things like that. And then like And then the container is no longer in your waste bin. And then you've used all the scraps from your vegetables and what was left over from the chicken, you've turned it into something that you can use for something else.
Right.
That's that kind of mindfulness. Start small. Don't buy packaged stuff. We buy packaged stuff for crazy things.
Oh yeah.
Like there are packaged like in plastic containers with water of celery. All they did was cut a celery stalk into three portions and put it in a plastic container and then jack up the price.
Yep.
You can cut, I'm sorry, but you can cut a, you, not only can you cut a piece of celery for yourself, you can break a piece of celery if you have no knife.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
or you can eat it from the top like Bugs Bunny. Okay. Right. Like you don't need to do that. Mm-mm. You don't need to be that wasteful. And I don't even think that sounds hippie. I think that's like, we're getting dumb now. Like, what are we doing?
Yes. I think that's what has happened. And I think our food system is like the prime example of this, of the ways in which we have lost, or we have been trained, or the ways that we have been bought that we can no longer, or we no longer have time to prepare food for ourselves or to nurture ourselves or to have meals together. I mean, it kills me in so many ways, because I've been trained in food preparation, right? And so to go into a store where a cucumber is sleeved in plastic, I know very well that that took more work to put the stinking cucumber in the plastic than it did to pick the cucumber from the field. Like, it took more work and it cost more money. And then now there's pollution that's going into our oceans because of the plastic covering. Or the apple slices that have to be treated with things, and so they don't brown, because we can't actually purchase an apple and eat it, or we can't purchase it and cut it up ourselves. Like, I think it's, of course, like we have been presented this storyline of, oh, this is making things easier. It's being simplified. It's like, I'm having those images of like the 1950s housewife when she was being sold the microwave. And like, oh, this is going to simplify your life. You're no longer going to have to do the amount of work that you were doing. And it's so tantalizing. I mean, it's the same thing as like when aspirin came on, of like, oh, you've got a headache. Now you don't have to deal with like hydrating yourself to get rid of the headache or honor the fact that you're stressed. Now you just take this pill and you can go forward with it. And it's just very much that storyline of like, it's very seductive. The things are being easier, but in them being easier, we've toned down ourselves. We have toned down our ability to be proactive in our lives, to take ownership over ourselves and our joy and the earth. And I don't mean like owning the earth, but like being an actual contributor to the earth.
Right. And I think that kind of stuff comes down to presence. Like being, we've been sold the story of, you don't have time to make your own food, or you don't have time to be in the kitchen, or you don't have time to cut up a tomato or whatever. And I've bought into that. I bought into that even whenever I haven't been in the corporate life for a year, where I'm like, I don't have time. And all of a sudden I'm like, no, you're not being present.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. That once you're done working, you're checking out and you'll be like, and I'm done for the day. No, you're not. You haven't taken care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You haven't taken care of yourself. I don't care. Sometimes I work from like 9 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. And then I'm like, that's it. I'm out. I'm like, no, you're not. You haven't taken care of yourself today. And I get my ass into the kitchen and I take care of myself. And it doesn't have to be something elaborate, but I at least make food for myself as a meditation. It was a Thich Nhat Hanh, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a Vietnamese Buddhist. He wrote a book on meditation. And in there, I talk about this often, that he said, whenever you're doing the dishes, do the dishes.
Be present with everything.
Be with it. Be with it. The thing about making food is an inconvenience, or it's a chore, or I don't have time. Yeah, you do. You can make a piece of salmon and a zucchini in 5 minutes. Oh, I know it for a fact. It is. But it gives you a moment to be with yourself and be conscious about how you're treating food and how you're treating your body, and to be present. And if you can be present, you can make those kinds of decisions about how you treat everything in your life. Everything. Do I really need this or do I not? I'll tell you something else. I needed shampoo yesterday. And so I went to the store and I was going to get the normal shampoo that has a bunch of chemicals in it. And I saw this is becoming more and more common, where they have shampoos that don't have parabens and gluten and all that right. kind of sulfates and stuff in it. And I was like, and it costs more money. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, no, I'm not going to get it. It costs more money. I'm like, hold on a second. Really? Really? It's going to cost $5 more, but you'd rather put chemicals in your hair?
Right.
What are you doing? And so I went ahead and invested in myself. It was only $5 more. And I feel amazing about myself now, because I'm like, see, that feels good. To choose presence, to choose what brings wellness, rather than, oh, fuck it, I'll put anything on my body.
Right. Yeah, I think I had my girlfriend, she just got through with the surgery, and we were talking about ways for her to reduce inflammation in her body. And so I was talking to her about some greens and berries and things like that to use in her healing process. And she was asking me about the cost of it. And then in the middle of it, she stopped herself and she was like, fuck it. Like, when am I going to be willing to invest in myself? Like, and it really stuck with me. I'm like, how many times do we unconsciously go through Starbucks and we'll spend $5 on a cup of coffee, or we'll buy the brand new iPhone, or we'll get a BMW or whatever we're going to get, like go to the store and buy two new sweaters or whatever it may be. Like, how often do we do that without any conscious thought of like, oh, I need these things? But when it comes down to like, oh, a journal so I can reflect on my mental well-being, shampoo that doesn't have chemicals in it that cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now we're like, oh, that's expensive. But we're willing to spend money anywhere else on things that really don't contribute to our wellness. And like, I think the food piece, to go back to that, is like, that's, it's like a microcosm example of where it's daunting to deal with these ways that we've stepped out on ourselves. Like, I deal with this a lot with teaching people how to cook, that they're like, I don't know. We've lost that in a matter of two generations, that they weren't handed down that knowledge, unfortunately. And it can be that simple. It can be 5 minutes, and it can be like, just like we have talked about previously in gardening, like it can be as simple as a cup that grows basil in your windowsill at your house. Like, there is simplicity to it, and it does not have to be daunting.
And it's powerful. I mean, for the people who haven't grown your own food, like, even if you grow just one, if you take one garlic, if you just do one garlic yep. and watch something grow out of it, if you're really paying attention, that's magic. You can go, oh shit, this is food. Wow.
Yeah.
It's in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing food grow. I don't remember who it was. It might've been a teacher. I was talking with a woman who was working with kids and growing food. And she said that the reason why she does it is the look and the reaction on the kids' faces when they pull up something green out of the ground, and it's a carrot.
I know.
And they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
As adults, we feel that way too.
Yes.
It feels amazing to grow food. Mm-hmm. And I know that I sound super corny right now, but just try it. If you try it, you'll be like, she was right. This is amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And I think, you know, there's so many studies that we could talk about, like that piece about the way we have left our veterans that have returned, and the ones that haven't returned, you know, like the way that we have not shown up to them, like the programs that help with rehabilitation of vets farming and getting their hands in, like the amount of research that has been shown of like gardening and the ability to help stabilize hormones, to help with serotonin levels, so we have a better mental outlook. It helps with emotions. The fact of like digging our hands into earth on a energetic level helps to ground us back into our bodies, to reconnect with the very essence that we are. It's not just like this hippy dippy thing of like, go grow your own food. Like, there is an energetic and a spiritual component to doing that, that's helping to realign you back with the earth and back with the fact that you are in a physical body.
And I think that we're probably going to have to face that if you're alive today in some way, just from being alive in the society that we're in today, in some way you have been traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to address it. And maybe growing our own food is a way for us to heal ourselves. I've got an emotional charge on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on about what we're talking about that feels like a hit to me about healing from the trauma of us being part of the planet too. We have been traumatized as well.
Absolutely.
And that participating in repairing, contributing to, nourishing the earth does the same for us too, because we need it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That we've been broken too.
Yeah. It's stored not only within the soil and the bacteria within the soil and the foods that we are eating that have the bacteria clinging to them, right? Like the dirt that's clinging to these foods, no matter how many times they've been stripped with bleach, it's still there. Like it's in the essence of what makes up the carrot or what makes up the pepper of the atrocities that have happened to the land. And we consume that. And what happens? It also lodges in our body. It's the same thing that if you eat commercialized meat that the animals have gone through commercial animal feedlots where they have been treated in really inhumane ways, guess what? They released a lot of hormones that were trauma-based. When you eat that, you have more of those circulating in your system. And so, of course, we have like these cellular memories and also physical memories of trauma, because we are not separate from those animals that are in those feedlots or from the earth that has been sprayed to death. Like it's all part of us. And I think that piece of like, I also have that emotional charge around healing the trauma because it gets stored at a cellular level. And I really believe that most of us are here because it's been stored and passed on for generation after generation of trauma. And it is lodged in our very beings. And we are here because we have to be willing to heal it so we can actually liberate everything going forward.
Everything. Yeah. That's a very active point in, and there's a lot of turn in how people are seeing how to form diets, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying you have to eat, if you're going to eat meat, you don't have to eat meat, but if you're going to eat meat, it needs to be free range grass fed. It has to be, because otherwise you're taking a traumatized being and mm-hmm. putting it into your traumatized person. You're just perpetuating more and more and more and more suffering. Yeah. Within yourself. I mean, if for no reason, other reason, appeal to your own greed.
Right. And then it manifests in diseases. And so then what are you doing? You know, like you're covering it up with pharmaceuticals to try to manage the disease when like the root cause of it is that the animal wasn't taken care of, that we weren't valuing the life of an animal to give us sustenance, that we're not valuing ourselves enough to say like, oh no, I only feed myself things that are really honored. Because I honor myself.
Mm-hmm. I think this leads past food. It leads to systemic things as well. And I think this goes into healthcare also. Mm-hmm. So whenever I talk about how Uranus and Taurus is going to make it so that healthcare becomes available to everyone, that seems like an institution thing within a values and earth kind of sign. But I think one leads to the other. I think that once we start to heal ourselves and what we've done to the earth, and once we start valuing life in a different way, then I think we're going to have to realize everyone should have access to healthcare, and everyone should be free of being under the clutch of pharmaceutical greed, mm-hmm. of being riddled with chemicals, being riddled with outside agents, when really what we need is to understand wellness and how to prevent ourselves from getting to the point where we're on death's door before they put in emergency mechanisms of pumping us full of chemicals to try and save us. So access to healthcare, I think that healthcare itself will be revolutionized into being more wellness driven and more holistic driven. With Uranus and Taurus too, coming from the baseline of what we were talking about being part of the earth and healing ourselves up from the bottom.
I can already attest to that in the sense that like my whole background is an integrative and holistic wellness and prevention focused on food. And I speak to doctors and nurses, and I can tell from when I started this work, like most doctors were like, oh, diabetes, we just treat that with insulin shots. Diabetes is a completely 100% preventable disease. Type 2 diabetes specifically is what I'm talking about. Completely preventable. It's lifestyle oriented, completely preventable. Now, does it mean that you can prevent it by doing the bare minimum? and drinking water on occasion or eating one vegetable a week. No, I'm talking about a complete overhaul of your lifestyle. But in presenting this information to doctors and nurses, I have found more and more coming up to me afterwards being like, we don't have access to this information. We don't know how all of the systems interact with one another, why there is a functional approach. And you're starting to see, like, to date, now we have three medical schools that are teaching food as medicine to their doctors coming up. This is huge. We have more and more medical systems and more medical universities that are teaching functional medicine, which is an approach that looks at the whole entire system, saying that if you have depression, it's not just something that's happening in your head, it is happening in your whole entire body. And then until you heal your whole entire body, it will not happen to just that depressive symptom, that you are capable of healing. We talk about alchemy and magic. The body's ability to heal itself is magic. We can tap into it. We can prevent it just the same way that the earth can do it. It has the ability to heal itself if it is held in reverence.
And we're finding, well, not we, I'm not part of it, I'm just watching, but I'm seeing studies come out where they're showing things like just an overhaul of food can cure all kinds of things.
Oh yeah.
Like parts of the spectrum of autism.
Yep.
From food.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing. We've done work with people for that, with autism and, not Parkinson's. We've done some work with Parkinson's too, and Alzheimer's disease, of that if you target just changing food, because here's the thing, is it's not just about food, right? You can change the food that's going into your body, but there's an energetic component to that food. It's a vibrational energy to it, because everything is a living vibration. It is all cellular structures. We are all composed of the same things, whether it is a blueberry, whether it is a human, whether it is a horse, whether it is a tree. We all have cells that vibrate at an energetic level. And so if you start changing the food you eat to stuff that is more high vibration, guess what? The cells in your body have to respond in a similar manner, because like equals like, and you will have to raise your vibration. If you raise your energetic vibration, the cells can then fight off the things that are inflaming you, the toxins that are attacking you, the things that suppress you. And then guess what? You get to show up a lot different in the world. Like you vibrate differently in the world. So then your joy becomes center to how you communicate, how you show up, how you interact with other people,
how you participate in the world. And yes. I'll tell you, I'll attest to this. I mention this often. I'm a double Scorpio, so I tend to self-sabotage a lot. And whenever I'm in sabotage mode, I get into thinking, well, it probably doesn't matter. It probably doesn't matter. I put myself last and I beat myself up and I don't take care of myself. And now that I'm up here, now that I'm way higher and I've been like really concentrating on wellness for a stretch of time, now I'm asking myself, you sure about that? Mm-hmm. You sure about it? Still doesn't matter? I'm like, oh yeah, I was wrong. It definitely matters.
Point taken.
I was wrong about that. I feel totally different. I feel like a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. And so whenever you get into that, and I'm sure there's a lot, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one. When you get into that lower realm of, it probably doesn't matter. What difference is it going to make? All the things that you convince yourself not to make a change, or it's going to be too hard. I'll tell you, it's not too hard. Right. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's not too hard. And it does make a difference. When you get into that realm, sometimes you have to hold on to other people saying, listen, I've already done it. I'm telling you, it's not as hard as you think, and you will feel completely different. And you got to kind of hang on to that and reach for it, because the things that go on in our heads from programming, mm-hmm. from the way that lower vibrations are very convincing, mm-hmm. from all the messages that are completely false but are very enticing and seductive, you stay in perpetual mode of sabotage, sabotage, sabotage. Just keeping yourself sabotaged and not going up and staying down. My personal opinion is that there is a dark part of consciousness that does that on purpose, mm-hmm. that doesn't want us free, that doesn't want us to elevate, that doesn't want us to heal, because it's a direct opposing force. And personally, that pisses me off. I'm like, oh, well, then I'm for sure going to do something about it, because I'm going to be the winner. I always want to be the winner.
And because you're not, like, I get pissed off about it because I'm like, you're going to try to control me? Say what? Mm-hmm. You really want to step to me with that? No, you're not going to try to control me. Nobody gets to control me. I get to be in control of myself. And I completely agree with you that there is an underlying layer there because it's safer. I mean, you're more likely to buy into suppression. You're more likely to buy into the storyline of, oh, it's hard. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I'm going to sabotage this. I'm not worthy of doing that. It's easier for you to be a component of consumerism, of self-doubt, of smallness when you are in that place than when you are in the place of like, oh, I'm vibrating at a higher level. I am putting my happiness first, my joy first. I am showing up to change the earth, my community, the world that I live in, because I am valuing who I am as a person and the fact that I've come here for a specific reason. You tend to be kind of unfuckable with them.
That's right. Yeah. And I think, let's take that further. The reason why I think it's so easy to fall into that programming and self-sabotage and staying small is because you're supported there.
Oh yeah.
The mechanism that wants to keep you small is like, here's fast food.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a cheeseburger in 5 seconds and like, yeah. Oh, thanks. And you're fed it. You're fed messages of the latest thing that you need to go buy and you'll feel better. You're fed like, have you walked through a grocery store lately? Holy shit. Like 75, 80, 90% of it is all shit.
It's all
of it. But it's right within arm's reach.
Oh yeah.
Except the secret weapon is that you can order anything. Anything can be delivered to your door. You can have seeds delivered to your door.
Mm-hmm.
You can have vitamins delivered to your door. I don't care where you are. Well, I don't want to say that. There's probably some places that FedEx won't go to, but you can still order a lot. Right. I can't get a lot of vitamins where I live because I live in the city and I don't have a whole lot of holistic stuff around me, but I can sure as shit can order it.
Right.
I even do that for my cat food. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeding my cats shitty food that makes them sick.
Right.
And so I order it. I don't like that because it's contributing to pollution, but you got to do what, I mean, you got to work with, we have to solve the problem of having to order stuff and contributing to pollution of having it delivered.
Right.
But you got to start breaking through somewhere and not being like, well, I guess I'll just do this because it's right in front of me. No.
Well, I think that will be like consumer driven. You know, I went to a conference a couple of years ago and it was about berry consumption because berries are extremely anti-inflammatory and the research on them is phenomenal on preventing cancers and diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And it was a bunch of farmers that grew berries all over the United States. And then also food companies that sell what the growers produce. And so they were saying like, oh, their sales were tanking. Nobody was buying blueberries, especially organic blueberries or organic raspberries. This was obviously several years ago because of the cost, right? And then a couple of studies came out about how they play a role in Parkinson's disease and slowing it down, the progression of Parkinson's disease. And then some studies came out that they changed the gut microbiota so that they could control like diabetes. And another study came out that it helped reduce cardiovascular disease risk. And then another study came out saying that they like helped manage diabetes glucose levels. And once those studies started coming out, people that were struggling with these diseases are like, oh, I need to buy blueberries. So then all of a sudden blueberries, organic berries are a lot more available. And the point of this is like the farmers were sitting there being like, we were always producing berries. But now all of a sudden it was consumer driven. It was consumer driven that they wanted access to them. And it's the same token. Like if we say, hey, we're going to ship stuff to us because that is our only option at this point in time to have healthy stuff. Then eventually the people that produce that, farmers is probably what we're talking about here for most of these things, since they are food based, will catch up with that and be like, oh, well, then I could start a farm in my area. I could start a farm down the road. I could have a health food store that supplies these things because there's obviously a demand for them here.
Right. Through purchase power, changing the system. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Think about how it took people saying, oh, this will help my health, this will help my dis-ease, this will bring me back into alignment. I'd rather use my money on berries rather than pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Let's do more of that.
Right.
Let's make pharmaceuticals obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make them like have to change the way they function at all. We'll probably always need some sort of medicine, of course.
Absolutely.
But the way that it's run wild, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that more information and purchasing power is probably how we get there, right?
Yeah. It's the power of the fork. Like, it's what you put on your fork, what you consume. There's power behind that. It completely determines what kind of restaurants will be open, what kind of grocery stores will employ people in your community. There's purchasing power, but it requires consciousness and it requires presence with yourself of like not just going through the McDonald's line because it's easy when you have food at home that you could throw in a crock pot and have food in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.